A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. The word of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is gracious.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus had heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot and from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place. It is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. So, I want you to kind of put yourself in that mindset that you have when you're applying for a job, when you go to a job interview, and how you put your very best foot forward. You present yourself in such a way that it's almost like you're marketing yourself. You want them to buy in to the gifts and the skills that you have, and then you want to be accepted. Right? The same is true, like maybe on a more less professional level, if someone wants to join a particular club or a particular crew here in New Orleans, right? You might try and present yourself in a way that would make the other person want you, right? We brush ourselves up, we've got it all together, in order that we might be wanted, because we desire to be wanted. This is all part and parcel of 21st century culture. We do this all the time. We try and present ourselves in a very good light. The danger with that, I'm not saying it's wrong, but the danger with that for us as Christians is that can creep into our spiritual lives, right? Whereby we come into this church and we somehow think that I've kind of got to have it all together before God is going to somehow want me. That we come before the God who called us first, he called us into existence, and we kind of struggle with this idea, at least maybe even up subconsciously, that I've got to get it all together and have everything in order before this God is going to want anything to do with me or even accept me. Well, friends, the first reading that we have today, right, from the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, what does it say? "All you who are thirsty, come to the water." Not some of you who are thirsty, right? All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. "You have no money? Come. Receive grain and eat. Receive and come without paying, without cost, and drink." The invitation is on God. He's the one who's asking us to come. Don't put the interview the other way around. You see, spiritually, it's very detrimental when we get this the wrong way around. We'll wonder why our spiritual lives aren't quite clicking as they should, and it's very often because we get this completely inverted. In the catechism, it tells us, the catechism of our church, what does it say? It says, God calls man first, and our first step towards God is always a response. God calls us first, and our first step towards him, which we may feel is our initiative, even that is a response to the love which called us into existence. You know, friends, very often as a priest, I hear this often with people who maybe haven't been to confession in like 20, 30 years, 10 years, even a year. "Oh, Father, you don't know what I've done. How could God ever forgive me? How would he ever want me? What I've done in my life and, you know, this mistake I've made, how would he ever want me?" And it's such a painful thing to hear, but it's also a beautiful opportunity for us as Christians to recognize something. On your worst day, on the darkest moment, on the biggest famine and drought in your life, when you were this thirsty person, he still wants you, and he still calls us. This is not some kind of divine wrestling match where we're somehow trying to drag the divine down from the heights to somehow stay with us. By very merit of the incarnation, him becoming one of us and saying, you come to me, this is his initiative. He wants us all. When sometimes there can be a caricature put out of our Catholic Church in the secular world, right? That it's this rigid and dismissive church that doesn't want you if you've got any kind of mess in your life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bring all of that mess in here with you. There is a station at the back of church to sanitize your hands. There is not a station at the back of church or a bin for you to somehow check your life and leave it outside. But rather, we bring all of our humanity, the totality of our humanity, warts and all and scars, all of that, in here, that we might receive mercy, that we might receive his forgiveness, and that we might taste something of that abundance he talks about in the gospel. You know, three of the readings today, the first reading, the psalm, and the gospel, all mention the same word, that they were satisfied, or we desire to be satisfied. I don't know about you, but we live in a very hungry world where people are constantly not satisfied, right? Think of, I mean, U2, right? Maybe you're not a U2 fan, but Bono, right? That beautiful song he writes, he's gone to the highest mountains, sailed the furthest seas, and what? He still hasn't found what he's looking for. That's a perfect modern-day anthropology of what it means to be a human being. We spend all of our time searching all over the place for something that's going to fill us up, fill the hunger, satiate the thirst, and what happens? We end up more and more hungry, more and more thirsty. And the challenge for us today is to accept that invitation, that we are welcome here. And with all the mess that we have in our lives, he's saying, come to me. I know you're thirsty. I know you're hungry. Come into this church and be here. This is a church of all are welcome, yes. Now, does that mean anything goes? No. But all are welcome? Yes. It reminds me of my childhood growing up. In my family, I was one of five kids. So there was an appropriate amount of chaos in our house growing up. It was a war zone. My parents were very good at teaching us one particular thing. Always come home. You are always welcome to come home. Now, did that mean that this punk, when he got home sometimes, got a correction? Sure. But I was always welcome home. All are welcome, not anything goes. And that's a beautiful distinction that we have to kind of allow to sink in. And when something is something that is not to go, is it with some kind of aggressive, violent correction that we receive? No. It's an extended hand of mercy from our God who says, that sin does not define who you are. Where you've been does not constitute your person. And I'm here to heal you and give you forgiveness and mercy. That's the gospel. That's the God that you and I believe in. It's the God who believes in us and calls us to be co-workers in his vineyard. And then you might say, well, Lord, I mean, you're calling me to follow you into your church, but with all this stuff I've got going on and all the ways in which I've kind of messed up in trying to follow you throughout my life, how in the world would you be asking me to be helping you in your mission of spreading the good news? Friends, it's very clear in that gospel passage today when he's talking to his disciples and they're like, look, Jesus, all we've got, a couple of fish, a few loaves, there are thousands of people. How can you meet their hunger? Because this is all we've got. Friends, if you have not even a loaf, but a crumb of faith, the tiniest, minuscule of faith, that crumb, allow the Lord to use that. Because what does he do when they give him what they thought was nothing? An abundance. 12 baskets left over, and everyone was satisfied. Their hunger was met. That seed of your faith, whether it's a crumb, whether it's a loaf, whether it's a bakery, I don't know. Give it away to others. It's precisely in sharing our faith with others that we come to most fully possess it ourselves. That's how this works. We're called to be missionary disciples, people who go out and share the good news. There is nothing that excludes you from that vocation by merit of your baptism. Did you not hear in that second reading as it was read the kind of audacious and somewhat almost kind of cocky language with which St. Paul talks about what can separate us from the love of Christ? And he confirms that no, all these different things that we think might separate us from God's love, we don't just conquer, we conquer overwhelmingly is what he says. We conquer overwhelmingly through him who first loved us. Stop with the excuses. Death nor life, anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, heights, depths, powers, future things, present things, none of them separate you from God's love. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you've been through in your life. But I can assuredly tell you that nothing is outside of the span of his love for us and his ability to constantly, even in my failings, call me back and say, come, follow me. Are you thirsty? Come. Are you hungry? Come here. The world is very quick to offer us things to satiate our thirst and our hunger. I promise you, it's like drinking salt water. You're going to end up more and more thirsty and more hungry. Maybe for us in this Mass, let's take a moment to recognize the area in my life where there's a thirst. Maybe I can't even give it a name. Maybe I don't even know what it is. But the ways in which I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I just don't even know what for. And let's have a turn of the heart towards the Lord today and say, yes, Lord, you've said for me to come to you when I'm thirsty, to come to you in my hunger. I'm here, Lord. Meet me in my thirst and my hunger. Trust in a God who is never going to be separated from you. Trust in a God who is always ready to give you mercy. And the God who called you first. And our first step, remember, friends, is always a response. The challenge for us now, as Christians, is to respond.